Thank you for listening to our podcast. We trust it inspires and encourages you to honor God and make disciples. For more audio messages like these and other resources, please visit victorymetroeast.org.
We're starting a new series today and we call it The King. This is a 3-week preaching series and in culmination to the Holy Week, we want to make sure that we do something right and we understand who Jesus is based on his personality. And one of the things that we're going to talk about starting today is we're going to talk about who he is as a humble king. And then next week, we'll be talking about the risen king. And the week after next week, we're going to talk about the glorious king. And so this is something important for all of us, something precious, because we know that the whole nation is commemorating Holy Week. And we have our own way of expressing ourselves with our own spirituality or religiosity. We want to make sure that we do this right. We want to make sure that it's biblical as far as we're concerned in our relationship with God. And so this is very crucial. And I'm going to ask you to stand up on your feet as we read God's Word today in the book of Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1 to 11. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. Here's what the Word of God says. Verse 1, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, sabi nyo kanina, Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied in a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt and foal of beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord for us tonight. Can we just bow our heads? Let's pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we want to honor you, Lord, for who you are, being our King, our Lord, our Redeemer. And even as we talk about you, Lord, I just pray for the Holy Spirit to be upon us. That, Lord, that you will bring Christ to be the center of our lives. And that you will bring your illumination of your God, of your word, Lord God, tonight. May we encounter you, Lord God, starting today in a different way. Even as we talk about your kingship, the rest of the 3 weeks, starting, Lord God, today with the preaching of God's word. And may your will be done, Lord. With the help of your Holy Spirit, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone would say, amen and amen. Please take your seats. You know, nowadays we have a different picture when we say the word king. Pag sinabi po natin at minensyon natin yung word na hare, or in English, king, a lot of people would have a different way or meaning in accordance to their understanding. Like, for example, if we say LeBron James in the NBA, all right, we all know that he is what? He is king, all right? And Nike, all right, has a good way of expressing James, LeBron James, in accordance with the rubber shoes, all those sports shirts, and so on and so forth. What about this? Why don't we play a little game right now? If I mention a name, would you tell us who they are based on their position, prescription, or description? Is that okay? Sige. Usapan natin, ha? What about Michael Jackson? King of Pop. Michael Jackson. Tama, MJ. Okay? Galing. Elvis Presley. Huh? King of Rock and Roll. Tama. Sige. Oh, iba naman tayo. What about Chinese restaurant? Chow King. Chow King. Hindi kayo taga Metro East. Malamang nanood ka na Manny Pacquiao kanina. Okay? Hindi ka taga 5 p.m., 5 and 7 p.m. service ngayon. Alright. Pag sinabi natin Chinese restaurant, King B dapat. Di ba? O, tama, di ba? King B. Kasi nga Chinese, hindi Jollibee ha. King B. Alam ko sponsor natin si Jollibee. Pero King B talaga yan. Alright. What about this? What about Whopper? Burger King. Siyempre, Burger King. Alright. Burger King. Ito. Alright. Effigy. Ah, sorry. FPJ pala. Oh, well, sorry. I stand corrected. FPJ. Sino si FPJ? Hindi po Action King. The King. Alright. The King FPJ. Hindi ba? Pag FPJ, The King yan. Oh. Oh, ito. Simba. Yon, grabe. Anda, mas kilala niyo ba si Simba? Hindi ba si Mufasa? Hindi, Lion King. Simba, alright. Simba, okay. Sige. O ito, Sweet Lover. Driver, ano? Sweet Lover, what? Galina, King of the Road, di ba? Basta jeepney driver, Sweet Lover. Oh, sino ba, di ba, King of the Road ng mga jeepney drivers? Tama? Alright. Mukha bang lover? Okay. Sige, what about this one? Manny Pacquiao. Sino nanood kanina? Manny Pacquiao o ano? What? The next pound for pound king. Alright? Hindi siya pound for pound king eh, pero he'll be the next. How many of you believe that? Parang wala, parang brother Manny, by the way, he won. Or that's brother Manny, alright? Sabi kanina, he's the king of Bradley daw, alright? Sige, pakintindihin na natin sila. Alright, you know, whenever we mention the word king, in fact, it displays royalty, it displays majesty, it displays splendor and magnificence. You know, here in our nation, we really don't have any kind of king here, but if you check Thailand, they have their own king. Great Britain and the rest of the Europe, they have their king and their kingdoms, isn't it? But for us, whenever we say king, it's not really the king, but we're talking about political leaders. You don't have a king as if king, but whenever we say king, it refers to the person who holds the highest position in the nation, which is the president. Are you here with me? And yet, whenever we say the word king, it gives us a picture of what? Bigness, bold and solid. That's the picture. Stability, security, assurance, safety, national pride. Kumbaga, bigatin. You know, Jesus' triumphant entry was a public display of who he is, displaying his kingship as promised in the scriptures. The guy whom you just saw in the video asked those four kinds of questions. Let me repeat what he said. He said that, wouldn't a conquering king enter a city on a war horse or a noble steed? Why did he choose to ride on a donkey? What kind of a king were the people expecting? What kind of a king entered their city that very day? Let me give you a little background of what happened here. In fact, that moment, all right, they were celebrating. The whole nation that time was preparing. They were so busy preparing for the week for the Passover. And so what happened, whenever there's a Passover, it's for people, it's more of the political, more of showbiz, more of people trying to be religious. But for God, it speaks of hope. And so what happened was, many times in the nation of Israel, God would choose a king. But every time the king would do different things, not necessarily what God wants, the whole nation would collapse. The whole nation will suffer all these curses, all right? There'll be no blessing, But yet there will be curses after curses. They will be beaten by different nations. Why? Because they would not follow what the Word of God says. And it has something to do with leadership. It has something to do with kings whom God would put up. What happened was, there are so many kings that for generations after generations that God has placed. Ang nangyari po, yung mga kings like Jeroboam would do different things, would do foolish things. They would raise up idols and worship idols. They would give themselves to the kind of race, a kind of nation who they should not be giving. And they would, all right, they would have kids and sons and totally wipe out what God wants for that nation until there was no king that the book of Judges speaks of the judges. But yet God is so faithful that he would still put up kings until from generations to generation that kingdom was totally divided. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, the Assyrians that they would come against with, all these kinds of nations, all right, would have problems with Israel, the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, until God was setting up this time called the Passover. The Passover is a very important kind of event for the whole of Israel. In fact, Josephus, according to him, all right, would bet 2.3 million people come to Jerusalem for the Passover. There was a population of 80,000 people in Jerusalem. But different nations would come and gather to celebrate the Passover. It's just like in our time today, Luneta. Have you been to a political rally? Have you attended a political rally in Luneta? With all, diba? I remember not long ago, since we're Christians and we should have a voice for the nation, there was this leader, a pastor, who really ran for president that season. And I remember that even our own church rallied for this person. And in reverence to God's and obedience to God's will, whatever kind of a person, if that person is a righteous leader, I'd rather choose a righteous leader than a person who is popular and yet corrupt. How many of you know that's common sense? And so the whole victory really rallied, all right, and campaigned for this man. And so I remember vividly that very day where there was a political rally at Luneta. Okay, sa Luneta po, talagang dami tao, all right? Sobrang dami. Doon sa Luneta po, ewan ko kung nakita niyo yung kalabaw doon. Di ba may kalabaw doon sa... Nandun ako sa may kalabaw. Ang dami na ako makapunta doon sa stage. Sobrang dami ng tao. Then all of a sudden, we welcome na nila yung candidate, all right, for president. So here was the candidate coming in with the entourage and with the bodyguards and ang daming kasama. So pagpasok niya doon, dumaan po sa harapan ko, mga kapatid. Siyempre, gusto kong pumunta doon sa stage. So, sama naman ako. Nasa likod ako. Sisunod-sunod naman ako. Parang pag kung gusto niyo mag-drive ng mabilis, pag may ambulansya po, sunod lang kayo sa likod. Pero huwag niyong babanggain, ha? Kasi may kakilala kong pastor, binangga yung ambulansya. Pastor yun. Kaya huwag niyong gagawin. Sa likod lang kayo. May distansya lang. Ganun ho ang ginawa ko. Sunod ako dun sa politika. Siyempre, parang kumari, bodyguard ako. May tumabi ho sa akin, media person, si Doris Bigornia. Right? So, si Doris, yung, ano ba siya? Sa ABS. Siya daw yung ano, reyna ng masa. Or, kasama kami ni Doris. O sige, dito tayo. O tara. Dito ka, diretso kami. Hanggang doon sa stage. Imagine from the Calabao, in Luneta, nakapunta kami sa stage ni Doris. Alright? So doon ako, parang feeling ko. Artista rin ako kasi kasama ko sila Piolo. O yung mga, anyway. So that was the scenario there during the Passover. They were celebrating this person. And in fact, when they celebrated, people have a different notion of this person. Philippians chapter 2. Here's what the Word of God says. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other translation, this should be your attitude in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's so important for us to understand that very background, that people have a different notion. First things first, number one, they have a wrong mindset. The first question that we ask today, why did he choose to ride in a donkey? This man could have chosen a war horse. Why a donkey? You know, when we have a different mindset, we usually respond differently. But you have to take note, when this man came and rode a donkey, a lot of people gathered and still hold those palm branches and declared, Hosanna, Hosanna to this person. Why did he choose a donkey? In verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus emptied himself. He could have entered with an entourage of big shots and begotten, and with officials like Manny Pacquiao coming to the stage, you could tell who the person is next and the person next. Jesus didn't do that. He came with a donkey just by himself. He went on his way. And yet, people were shocked in spite of him coming with a donkey with a wrong mindset. A lot of people still declared Hosanna. Maybe in our lives, we have a different mindsets, the way we were raised in our families, the way we run our business, the way we deal with our people, the way we deal with our co-office mates, our classmates, our subordinates, our bosses, wherever we are in our own lives. We have our own mindsets, and yet somehow, deep within you, you thought it's right, and yet it's wrong. What do you do when you have a wrong mindset? Here's what happened. We respond differently. Let me submit to you, those people who raised up those palm branches and declared, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David, which is Christ, after some time, are the same people who pointed at Christ and say, crucify him. These are people who were so excited in that political rally, declaring this man as the king eventually backslid because of a wrong mindset, which was Christ did. Why did he ride a colt? Why did he ride a donkey? You know why? Because he wanted to break protocols. He wanted to show people the kind of leader that they needed, not with your mindsets, not with what the world will dictate, not what other networks on TV will tell you how you dress up or how you portray yourself. It's not a matter on what the world will tell us, but how God would tell you. Are you here with me? In fact, the Bible tells us from the very beginning, he was born in a manger. Think about that, and yet he'll become king. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O God, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, and a foal of a donkey. He was the humble king. And still is our humble king. Second, what kind of a king were the people expecting? What do you do when you expect something and yet it didn't happen? When we get the things that are packaged differently, what is our tendency to do? May mga in-expect po tayo sa buhay natin pero namangyari, hindi nangyari. Ano bang ginagawa natin? Ano bang bigla may darating na totally different from what you expect? What do? Di ba somehow we totally reject? I remember me and my family there was a moment where we're all starving for dinner, and yet we saw this restaurant. Or I'm not going to tell what restaurant is that. And so I was really promoting, say, this is good, this is, all right, we're going to eat a lot here. Come on, kids. And so I brought my whole family. And so we did, we ordered. And so after some time, gutom na kami, kumain kami. Grabe yung pagkain, sobrang hindi masarap. All right. And my whole family were acting. And they were looking to me as if, yeah, sure, Dad. Sarap, ah. Okay. From that time, until today, we've never come back. And you'll ask them, oh, come on, let's try. I will joke around. Nah, bad experience. Bad experience. You know, when you have a different kind of expectation, it didn't come to pass, you tend to reject and not be open for anything. Why? Because there's something that you want to hold on, that you want to make it happen, and it did not happen. What happened was, there was a wrong expectation that Jesus came there displaying his kingship, but the crowds gathered, hailed him as king, but they have a wrong expectation of who he is. That's why they rejected him. Think about this. What kind of expectation those people have? What kind of a leader does that people wanted to see? Guess what? They're expecting a political leader. Not just a political leader, but someone who will save them from the Roman Empire. Someone who will help them financially, economically. Someone who have the power of military with glory and might, a savior who could totally annihilate the Roman Empire and give them freedom. It sounds family nowadays. When there's oppression, when there's dictatorship, when there's someone trying to control, overpower, put their authority over us, we need someone to come in and help us, isn't it? So that's basically what happened. But guess what Jesus did? He didn't come as the way people expected. He came in as what? He came in, the Bible says, to serve. Taking a form of a servant. He would engage with people that king would never do. He would come and touch them and heal them. He would cast out devils. He would heal their sick. He would do signs, wonders, and miracles. Feed the 4,000. Feed the 5,000. Think about that. There will be no king would ever do that. Usually a king would delegate and ask them with his power and authority, okay, do this and do that. But a king would stoop down on his very people and serve them and heal them and touch their lives. That's the kind of king that we have. In other words, he humbled himself. There's no person who could be able to do that. Totally different. Change the whole atmosphere. Change the status quo of what leadership, of what kingship is about. Are you here with me? Maybe some of us, in our walk with God, we have such different expectations. We already have something in our minds. But yet, when you encounter God, it's totally different. It's totally different when God will tell you, trust me in this. It's totally different when you have a business dealings that is not supposed to happen because there's some illegalities, red tape under the table deals that you know it's not supposed to happen, but you still allow. And yet, you are rejoicing. And yet, you call it a blessing. And you call it, it's from God. And yet you call it, man, this is God's blessing. But you know deep within you, you're not supposed to be doing that. But yet God is telling you, trust me in this. There will be probably expectations that you have that will not come your way. Why? Because Jesus' way is totally different than yours. What would you do then? Would you trust God? His authority, His power, His grace, His wisdom to work in your lives. That God has a better plan for you. The right way, His way, not our own way, not the world's ways, not your parents' ways, not your own selfish ways, but His. First, they had the wrong mindset. Second, wrong expectation. Thirdly, wrong character. They were expecting a different kind of a person. Here's what the Word of God says in Matthew 20, verse 17. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside. And on the way, he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. There was a different kind of character, an expectation wherein Pilate himself have to call someone for people to make a choice. Would you choose Barabbas or would you choose Jesus? How many of you understood what happened? Majority chose Barabbas. Why is that? Why not Christ? They don't want a humble king. They don't want a meek king, a gentle one. They wanted a king who is powerful and might. By the way, Barabbas was a robber, right? He stole stuff. But his background was, where he come from, he came from a group called the Maccabees who delivered the Greeks from the annihilation of the oppressors. And it happened 160 years ago from their time. So in other words, Barabbas has such an expectation, kaya nga siga. Kaya nagnanakaw, kala mo kung sino. And yet the people have that kind of mindset, that character in their own way. I'd rather choose the strong rather than this guy. You get a picture? Well, here's the point. Jesus came into the picture, broke the protocols, broke their mindsets, broke their wrong expectations, broke all this wrong character in their heads. And he was so secure. He just rode the donkey, just being him being himself, not being a man pleaser, but he stood for his own call. Here's what William Barclay said. Jesus, as the humble king, it was not the kingship of the throne that Jesus claimed. It was the kingship of what? The heart, not the throne. He came humbly and riding on a donkey. We must be careful to see the real meaning of that. Often a king came riding upon a donkey when he did. But when he did, it was the sign that he came in peace. Everybody say peace. The horse was the mount of war. So when Jesus claimed to be king, he claimed to be the king of peace. He showed that he came not to destroy, but to love. Not to condemn, but to help. Not in the might of arms, but in the strength of love. That's the reason why he came not with a horse, trying to tell you, hey, look, I'm not for war, but I'm for peace. I came for them because I want to deal with you gently. I want to deal with you, not using my authority and power to demand from you. But I'm here to deal with us gently, graciously. That's the king that we have today. In other words, Jesus himself is our humble king who came to reign in our own hearts. Because of that scripture that we read in Matthew 20, he knows his purpose. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I think the greatest expression of who this king is that he expressed it, his humility, by obeying his purpose, his calling, to give himself for us right there on that cross. In other words, Jesus was the least expected king. Nobody knew. Nobody would ever think. Oh, that Jesus, spiritual leader, yeah, fine. Teacher, okay, fine. Prophet, maybe. Oh, yeah, healer, okay. But a king? Not just king, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Jesus has to break those mindsets. Why is that? Because he's a different man. A man of character. That he sacrificed himself. He suffered. He was flogged. He was insulted. And yet, he did not fight back. That's the kind of king that we have. And think about this for a minute. This king offered himself, sacrificed, suffered. Not just for those people who loved him, but those people who considered as enemies of Christ. Every single one of them. That's why when he was there on the cross, the fulfillment of him suffering is found in the book of Isaiah. When it was claimed that He was publicly tortured. That it says there, the King of the Jews. The guy asked him, "Who are you? Are you a king?" He said, "Yes. I'm the King of the Jews. What's the point? These people who rejected me that I've come from, my very people, my blood, who denied me, reject me, are the ones who tortured me, the ones who caused me to suffer. I'm their king. The one who claimed to be my enemies, the religious, the irreligious, the immorals, the righteous. I am their king." Not only that, he suffered for them, but the very person who are followers of his, in that moment, they scattered. They've forgotten Jesus. One of them is Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. Yet he restored him back. Jesus died for those so-called enemies, but yet he died also for those people who totally forgotten him. The good news is, Jesus didn't just die for them, but he died for those people who were not yet born. That's us. Jesus suffered and died, afflicted on the cross, so that you will know that we have a Savior, a King who could reign in our hearts, who could deal with you gently, not in a very demanding, authoritative way, but yet he died for us, and he died for our future kids, our future generations. He already did. And that's who our humble King is. When he was there on the cross, there's a wood right there on top of his head. It says there, Inri. Have you ever seen that? Pag may picture sa cross, kalagay doon, Inri. It's a Latin word. And that means one who died for the Jews. One who died for his very own. My friends, here's what he said. It is finished. A lot of people will go suffering once again. Have their own way of sacrificing. Some of them is just a show off. Some of them, people will just go to the beaches. They'll just go to take some time to rest. But I hope for us it's not. I hope for us it will be an encounter. Why? Because Jesus, he's not just Lord, he is King. That he deserves all and everything else in our own lives. And maybe tonight, there are expectations, there are struggles, there are wrong mindsets, there are wrong character in us. I have a good news for you. Jesus is the ultimate example, a humble king who has the right mindset, who has that character and that expectation called hope, the hope of glory, which is Christ in you. Maybe there are things in your life that Jesus wants to deal with you gently. Would you respond and not be those people who claim and say, "Hail, Hosanna," but after a few days, they backslid and said, "Crucify him." Would you go to the cross today and acknowledge who we are, that there's no power in what you're doing today? You are nobody. You're totally nothing here on this earth without God making a choice to give you that life in order for you to breathe. To the fact that we're breathing, to the fact that you're here, it just shows the image of God is still in us. But yet, he wants all and everything about you. This is the God that we serve. This is the Jesus who loves us so much that he stooped down in our level for us to be great. And so today, if there's anything in your heart, I don't have to wait for Friday for me to realize the suffering. Now, right here, tonight, if there are any areas in your life that God is showing you, I want to be king. I want to help. I want to change your character. I want to change your mindsets. I want to change your very heart, your very being, your expectation. Would you trust the Lord, His kingship? Can I ask every head's bowed down and eyes closed today? Just between you and God. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for who you are as our King. You're not just King, Lord, but you are a humble King. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us what character is about. That, Lord, we don't deserve to be here, but yet you're kind and gentle and pure. That you don't want to deal it with the way the world does, with their authority and power, but Lord, you want to deal it with us through your gentle way. And while every heads are bowed down and eyes closed, I believe the Lord is here, and I believe the Lord knows you. God wants to change you. God wants to change the way you think. God wants to change your ways, the way you think, your beliefs. It's between you and God. If there are things in your life that is not right, would you repent? Would you repent before the Lord today and say, Lord, today, here I am. I surrender. I surrender to your kingship, Lord. Lord, I bow down. And every person who would see a king would bow down and acknowledge who he is today. Whatever that is in your life that needs to bow down, would you repent and say, Lord, change me. Lord, I declare your blood over me, the very blood that was shed on the cross for me to be saved, for me to be transformed, for me to be healed, for me to be restored and get back to my place. He can do that right here, right now. It's between you and God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for every one of us here. Let it be a start of a great encounter with you, Lord. That, Lord God, we will acknowledge you every area of our lives. That you'll be seated as King, a humble King. And Lord, we say thank you for everyone. That you're not here to condemn. You're not here to accuse. You're not here to put your finger, though we put our finger on you, Lord. But you are not like that. You're gentle and meek. Oh God, thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray for let your restoring work be fulfilled in our lives. Thank you, Lord, from this day on.